You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, March 22nd. Deuce, deuce. 2017. This is the Roto Experts of the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network alongside Matt Modica, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. I'm Greg Sussman. We go 2 hours for you, Roto Experts. Bring you into the fantasy. Oh, geez. The old school fantasy outcomes your way, of course, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Gentlemen, how are we today? What's up, Matty?
I am doing well. Happy hump day to all. And I'm happy to report another day, another number one overall pick in the main event on this coming Sunday. So I got the number one on Saturday and Sunday.
All right. There you go. Matt Modica's got first pick everywhere. He's all happy now. So that's good. Corey.
Oh, I was waiting for you to introduce
me. Oh, I already said good morning, Corey.
Oh,
whatever.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah. Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Also feeling good this morning. I kind of tossed and turned a little bit last night, but I'm all right. Nothing going on, you know. I just couldn't get comfortable, so got that going. Oh, now, Matt, let me ask you a question, because I know how I... Do you mind, Greg?
I'm shutting my mic off, and I'm going to walk out of the room?
No. Stay. I need you to stay. Matt, let me ask you. So, you have the number one pick, right? And we're deep into draft season, especially you've been drafting since, what, November or something like that?
Since Thanksgiving, yes.
You've been drafting since Thanksgiving. So, when you have the one pick, well, any pick in the draft, you already kind of know going into the draft how it's going to play out, who's going to be what, who's going to be where. Do you already have a winning strategy in place from the one hole?
Well, I hope the strategy is a winning strategy. I do have a foundation. I do have an idea of the first few rounds, how it's going to go, how I want to build my team.
Yeah.
Being that I have two number one picks, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, I will be going with Mike Trout on one, Clayton Kershaw on the other.
Nice.
I'll be having the powwow tonight over at the Greenwich Street Tavern.
You're going to go see Chris tonight?
Yes. We're partnering on there. Sunday. And
that's the one y'all going to take Kershaw in?
Well, I told him. I said, let me know who you want to take on Sunday,
yeah,
and I'll take the other guy on Saturday.
Okay. So y'all figure that out tonight.
Yes. Should be some deep thoughts.
Good. I'd like to hear that. Because what I do, Greg, like when I do the football thing, I know where, from depending on if I'm in the top three, if I'm in the middle, if I'm at the back end, I already know, you know what I mean, kind of what I'm going to do, who's going to be there, who's going to be what. I already know how I'm going to build. Like, if I know, okay, if I got 11, right, okay, I know I'm going 0 RB with 11. If I'm at 6, I know I'm going to go more balanced attack. If I go at 1, oh, I know I can get a tight end in the middle of rounds, or this is a league where I can pull the trigger on the quarterback early. You know what I mean, man? I was wondering if you had that same type of, you know, being that you drafted so much that you already know, okay, this is, I know in this one, I know the closer that I'm looking at, I'm going to be able to get him in seven on that 7-8 turn, or, oh, I know my big, you know, speed guys are going to be down here in this area. So do you have that, like, situated?
Yeah, I have certain things mapped out. I have multiple players at those numbers. Because, you know, if your guy goes, especially now, the final 2 weeks, pitchers will be pushed up. It happens every year. And certain players are going to get jumped. These are what guys want. They're paying some nice money for it. They're going to go for their guys, and they're going to jump some guys.
All right, cool.
It's interesting because yesterday after the show, our keepers are due today, but almost all the keepers are in. And we've talked about this a lot because I have first pick, and we, like I said yesterday, you know, Mookie Betts, Clayton Kershaw. I'm going back and forth in that regard, feeling how it played out. So yesterday, I gave myself Mookie Betts, and then knowing everybody's keepers, I played it out. Back and forth, and I see like the pitchers that came to me, like Jake DeGrom was like a couple picks away, and I missed them. And then I was left with garbage. Like I could have gotten Garrett Cole. Like Garrett Cole was there. Carlos Carrasco, given his issues, he's there. Like, do I want to start my pitchings with Carlos Carrasco and Garrett Cole? maybe, you know, like maybe when I start with Clayton Kershaw, like the hitters are there. Like I can get, I already have Seager and Arenado for those that don't remember. Like I can get a Kyle Seager too. Okay. Like I'm cool with that. I'm interested in that. I could potentially get, like a Carlos Gonzalez. Okay. I'm okay with that too, I think. So far, given my early mocking, if you will, in my own draft, Clayton Kershaw seems to just open up more possibilities for me.
I tend to agree with that, and even looking at my strategies, look, I love Mike Trout. He is just Mr. Solid, gives you all the categories.
Amazing.
But when you map it out with Kershaw at one, if I want to go total power at the 2-3 turn, say with a Nelson Cruz and a Giancarlo Stanton, if I wanted to go
total power,
or Nelson Cruz and say Brian Dozier. I don't think Dozier's hitting 42. I do think he'll hit the high 20s, low 30s in home runs and steal you 15 bases. So those are options. It's just the pitching's going to be, that's where I'm a little with Trout, that 2-3 turn. If Darvish isn't there, then I'm bumping up, say, I'm going to reach for Cueto a few picks, which I'm fine with Johnny Cueto there. I think he's just solid. He, you know, you'll be a little short on strikeouts, but you can make that up.
Yeah, so I think so too. But the problem was, in my mocking of yesterday, those guys are all gone. Every one of them will be gone by the time you get with all our keepers. By the time you get back to me, like reaching for Cueto or Darvish or something like that, they're all gone. Stanton, Dozier, I don't have a chance at those guys, and that's what's frustrating. That's why,
because of the keepers,
right? That's why I need to play it out really person by person, not even getting it right for their teams. Just knowing, all right, these 24 guys are going to be gone. Yeah. What do I get?
Yeah, because you're
doing it absolutely right.
There's no other way to do it, I don't think. And I said this kind of yesterday on the show, that I feel very, very bad in this keeper league for the person that has last pick. Like, normally you get the wraparound, right? You get two amazing, like, two really good players, right? You don't get Mike Trout, but, like, you get two really good players. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a, you know, it's a Jake Arrieta and a whoever at the bottom of that draft, you know, it could be one of the third basemen, honestly, that fall. Maybe even Josh Donaldson. Right now in this league, we're talking about Brian Dozier as a first-round pick. We're talking about Giancarlo Stanton and Ryan Braun as first-round picks. And I'm like, that is a severe disadvantage to where I am drafting Mookie Betts or Clayton Kershaw.
Well, speaking with your team, I do have a question. Are you going to keep Kenta Maeda? I believe it was like a 14th round.
That's what we talked about, yeah. So after talking to you and talking to a bunch of other people, I am.
Yeah, I think that's the right choice.
It's the 14th round. I know he's in like your top. He's around your top 25, I think.
Yes, he is.
So he's around your top 25 pitchers. I talked to Jake Seeley as well, and like for Jake, he's around there as well. So if I'm getting a solid number three, which I think Kenta Maeda probably is, I think for some people it wind up being number two on their teams. For me, a solid number three in the 14th round, where the odds are I'm going to pick three pitchers ahead of that 14th round anyway, so he'll be my number four. I'm comfortable with that.
You know, I definitely like that. I see the possibility in the second season, like in Japan, they pitch once a week, so it was a different lifestyle for him. You know, just making the change, too. But coming back this second season, I'm expecting close to 200 innings and close to 200 strikeouts if he can stay healthy.
I hope so. It's all about staying healthy. What about his teammate here, Hyunjin Ryu? Because I know it's a conversation we have every spring. We almost have every month of the season. Because Hyunjin Ryu came out yesterday, and he said, listen, face some minor league hitters. I feel great. I feel like I did four years ago.
That's a long time.
That's how I feel now. I'm ready to go. He pitched well yesterday. I'm back. And whether he starts in the DL for a week or whatever, I'm ready to go. I feel great. Do you feel great about Hyunjin Ryu?
Not yet. I'm not buying it yet. He was a guy a couple of years ago I was excited about. But I have to see more of this. I think he, you know, the velocity, I'll allow it to build up. And he's somebody that I'll keep an eye on. I don't think he really should be drafted right now. I don't know why you would take the guy that I'm excited about that I was seeing yesterday, that he seems like he's secured a rotation spot, which if that's the case, I want shares until he, you know, breaks down, is Alex Wood. I mean, that's a guy who has high upside talent. He's a bit fragile. I don't know if he can do the rigors of a starter over the course of a season, but he does have the skills.
All right. So with Hunter and Ryu getting itself together, whatever, simulate a game?
No, I think it's a minor league game.
No, I'm saying a simulated game is coming at some point, right?
No, no, he's past that.
Oh, goodness.
He's past that.
Yeah, I think he needs, I mean, I think they need to let him go down, pitch in the minors, build up the arm strength. I mean, it's been a couple of years. I mean,
you know what we're going to do, Corey?
What's up?
Just so you know. In like middle of May, I'd say.
Have a simulated game?
We're going to have a simulated radio show. We're just going to put you in positions of topics and just say go.
Oh, so it could
we're
be
gonna
like...
We're going to simulate everything.
More or less, we're going to set up situations for me.
To talk about.
And then you see if I'm like back to full radio strength.
Right, because I know you said... I know you said in April. We'll do it in April, because I know you said in April you're going away for a few days, like going out of D.C. with the kids and coming back, whatever.
And then when I come back...
So when you come back, I don't know if you'd be ready to come back at full strength.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to need you to have a simulated game.
You're going to put me in situations where you're going to see if I'm like, you know... If I'm good to go, if I'm ready to be back, if I'm ready strong to take on the radio broadcast, so
exactly, yeah.
So maybe you'll send like a weird email in the middle of the show, you know what I'm saying? And I'll try to adjust, you know. Maybe it'd be some unfair criticisms, and I'll try to adjust on the fly.
Right, some topics that make no sense, but we gotta throw them at you.
Yeah, to make sure that I'm good to go, my mind is still sharp.
Right,
and somebody just busting the studio while I'm broadcasting.
Yeah,
that's a good damn idea.
Thank you.
A simulated show.
A simulated show.
It sounds even better than a stimulated show.
Well, Giga, the hope is that it's both. The hope is that it's both. A simulated.
I'm almost ready to kind of go on a DL now, so I
because you can have a simulated
so
show.
A simulated show. Yeah,
no, I can't give you the simulated show without, you know, you need a rehab assignment, right?
I need a rehab.
And just remember, Corey, it's a 10-day DL this year, not a 15.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why are they taking days off the disabled?
We talked about this 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
I don't forget about it then.
I will. Believe me, I will. 10-day DL is interesting because, not to call sites out that I love, but certain people in Roto World remember it and certain people don't. Oh, the 15-day DL is going to start on. No, loser, it's 10 days. Crushed it.
Yeah, no, it's... I'm just excited. I mean, last night, I think I fell asleep in the ninth inning, to be honest with you, and I did miss the end of the WBC.
Yeah, I was fast asleep by that point. Tonight, 9 o'clock, though, WBC Championship.
Yeah, here
they're
we
in the
go.
Ship.
Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, look, if U.S. wins, hey, great. If they lose, I'm really not disappointed, to be honest with you.
This is kind of ridiculous to me. Whoa. You have invested quite a few hours, Modica, in watching this. Not only, hold on, have you stayed up, and you fell asleep last night, but you've stayed up to the middle of the night watching this crap. You DVR'd it to make sure like you had to watch crappy movies with your wife, and then you DVR'd it to watch WBC, and now you're going to tell me if they lose? Whatever.
It's honestly, it's been about the games. The games have been just so good. My expectations were surpassed, and it's been great for the fact that it makes the whole like spring training after like the first week or two, you just like, come on, let's just move it on. This has been fun. This has been fun to watch. I mean, if we win, we're the greatest. I mean, this is not like USA Hockey beating Russia or anything.
Do you believe in America?
But isn't it a little BS, Corey, right? Like, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. If we win, great. Like, we're not supposed to win. I'm just happy with the expectations. That's BS, man. We're the U.S.
tournament started.
We created this tournament. The tournament is literally in the United States every year. We don't have to go anywhere. And if we don't win, oh, it's
yeah, but I think it's more for the other countries and expanding the game.
Greg, if we was talking about the WBC 6 weeks ago, And I would say, well, who's going to be playing in the championship on the night of March 22nd? You would say it's going to be Puerto Rico versus Dominican Republic.
No, I would have said it would be the U.S. versus the Dominicans.
I don't want to hear that.
I would have said
the Dominicans, yeah.
And you would have said it been Puerto Rico versus Dominican Republic.
I would have said the U.S. versus the Dominicans. I expect to win championships. Didn't our president say we're going to win again? Here we are.
that is true.
We've been winning so much.
And here we are, winning.
We are winning. This is true. The United States team is winning, but it's a tough task tonight versus the Puerto Ricans.
Of course it is. But the thing you told me you didn't like that when I said that.
Huh?
Just calling them the Dominican to the Puerto Rican. You didn't like that, you said.
No, I'm being facetious.
Yeah, I was like, that's what I've been Puerto Rican my whole life. Am I saying something wrong?
You know, maybe politically correct, be like Team Puerto Rico, but, right. You know, I got love in the Bronx,
well,
so I just call them the Puerto Ricans.
Team USA struck out 12 times last night.
They got to do a better job than that. Who's pitching for the Puerto Ricans?
Probably, Seth Lugo, because Seth Lugo is always pitching.
It's Marcus Stroman.
Marcus Stroman versus Seth Lugo. The Puerto Rican team have any starters besides Seth Lugo? who is it?
Tony Pena.
he's Dominican, you idiot.
His proper name, Greg, is Seth freaking Lugo.
Sorry, Seth freaking Lugo. Does he have any? The Puerto Ricans have any starters outside of Seth freaking Lugo?
Yeah. Who did they pitch someone last night that wasn't Seth Lugo or two nights ago?
I don't believe you. I think they pitched Seth Lugo. I think you're lying to me.
Who pitched for the Puerto Ricans other
night? Was that Irv Smith? No.
They can't pitch two or three nights in a row now. Come on.
It's Seth freaking Lugo. They don't care.
Oh, who my you got? Goodness. Seth Lugo. But so the Puerto Ricans got to have more pitchers.
I don't think they
Seth
do. I feel like they don't. Hold on. I'm looking it up now. All right. The Puerto Ricans starting pitching here. You got Hector Santiago's on this team. Is it him?
He's not a
He pitcher. Came out of in relief, I believe.
Oh, so he stinks now. Okay. Seth Lugo.
Oh, Edwin Diaz is.
He's a closer.
Oh, yeah, you can't throw him out the deal.
Edwin Diaz has looked.
Jose sick. Barrios, did he start? Oh, it's the wrong Jose Barrios.
But he's going to walk.
Jose Barrios start?
He's going to walk everybody, though.
I think he started earlier in the tournament.
Jose okay. Barrios is on the Puerto Rican
Puerto
team.
Rico versus the Netherlands. I got that right now, Florio.
For the record. Angel Pagan.
Angel Pagan is definitely not a pitcher.
No.
All right, here we go. Let's find out. Monday's battle, 10 innings. Let's see here. I hate that we don't know this. Did you DVR this game?
DVR'd, I think, the game against the Dominican.
Puerto Rico starter Jorge Lopez.
Jorge Lopez, that guy's property of the Milwaukee Brewers, I believe.
Really?
Okay. You are making that up.
No, Jorge Lopez. No,
I believe
they got Josh Hader coming up. Josh Hader's a guy to keep an
is
eye on.
Is he related
on.
To Bill Hader?
I believe not. Okay. Bill Hader is very good.
Yeah, okay. So Jorge Lopez he's a Brewer. God, this guy's good. All right.
Yeah, well, good. They got some. Well, I'm glad that they have.
They have some other arms to throw.
They got, yeah, they can't put everything on Seth Lugo.
Seth Lugo is going to come in with like the strongest arm.
Seth Lugo should be starting for the like. If Seth Lugo has to go back in the minor leagues now, that kind of sucks.
Where's Pedro Feliciano? No.
Let's take a break. We come back. Let's talk about some shortstops, including D.D. Gregorius. We know about him now. Corey Seager. We got an update on him. Talk about shortstops next. You're on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back here, Roto Experts in the Morning. Modica, Parson, Sussman. Final day of the WBC tonight. You watching that live, Corey?
Go USA.
USA.
Tonight
USA.
Is Wednesday, right?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
You be watching it?
That'd be on.
In the background.
It'd be on in the background. As things start to get heated up, you know, I'll sit down and give it some good time, give it a good watch through. I'll be rooting on the Americans. So I feel pretty
I'll probably
good
be
about
watching
it.
The Americans. That's a television program.
Yeah, but you'll be rooting for Team USA.
Yeah, of course. I always root for the Americans. Everything
they
I do.
Was playing Israel.
Wait for the Americans.
All right. I'm just checking.
I am an American.
You're checking to see if you'd pull a Manny Machado and go
yeah,
play Team
yeah,
Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean? Like, you think Modica's going to root for Team Italy here?
Modica, would you root for the United States?
I'd go play for Team Italy if I had the chance. They got nobody. You know what I'm
you
saying?
You do have a chance. They have a team. You just chose not to play. They're
pretty much. Me, Mike Piazza hanging out. Yeah. You know.
Frankie Cervelli.
That'd be cool.
They had a team.
They're not that good.
Hey, I'd go for pizza.
So he did not answer that question for the record.
You didn't.
He sideswiped it.
He said,
I do get a little annoyed about the players that are born here and pretty much lived here their whole lives.
Yeah.
Like I know some other people were making excuses for them, and I just don't get that.
You know, Marcus Stroman's taking heat today because his mother's Puerto Rican. And they're like, why didn't you pitch for Team Puerto Rico? I'm an American.
Yeah, because okay, I'm from Cleveland. That's why.
Yeah, so he's a. Do you think Manny Machado regrets his decision?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think he regrets it. I just don't think he should have did it.
You know what's going to happen the next time they have the World Baseball Classic? He's going to play for the USA. I guarantee you.
I'm assuming he did it because like Nolan Arenado was on Team USA, and maybe he figured he'd get more playing time.
Whatever. Stroman also went to school at Duke. He's from New York.
That's right. He's from Long Island.
I was going to say he's from Long Island.
Yeah, Ronis. Ronis, yeah, I know.
Yeah, Ronis covered him.
Ronis covered him. Yeah, Ronis covered him when he was in high school. Yep. I know. Cleveland was the first American city I could think of.
There is nothing more American than Cleveland, Ohio.
They say the heart of rock and roll is in Cleveland.
There you go.
They
right
do.
There.
It's a fact right there.
What's more American than rock and roll?
Apple pie.
Mark Stroman.
Yep.
So.
Oh, tonight, apple pie versus arroz con pollos.
I can go for some chicken and rice. You get me hungry, throw some hot sauce on there.
Chicken and rice, Greg, nothing wrong with that.
I eat chicken and rice quite a bit, to be honest with you. I love chicken and rice.
There you go.
Let's talk about some shortstops, shall we? Can't we? We talked about the Dodgers before, and Corey Seager has been one of these stories that have been kind of brewing in the underbelly over the spring, where he had a back injury, and he had an oblique injury, and then nothing was going on. Now something is going on, and Corey Seager finally took some at-bats. Where, Matt Modica?
In a minor league game? Was it yesterday?
Was it a minor? Was it
a simulated game?
That's what I thought it was. I knew it was simulated. It was a DH. I knew that. I thought it was a DH in a simulated game. That's why
it's
I threw
a DH
it
in a simulated game?
Hold on. I'll
I know it was
that.
Like,
wait a minute. Hold on.
5 innings or something. So maybe it was.
So wait a minute.
No, it was a minor league game.
So he was a DH. Oh, so okay, okay. I'm about to say, how can you DH in a simulated game?
I thought it was simulated.
That'd have been crazy because people would have had to play the field. Because then, how you know you're the DH?
Well, you simulated because you only come up to bat and they're going to simulate situations. Like, all right, man on second, man on third, man on first, two outs, one out, stuff like
but
that.
But the DH, when you're the DH, then everybody's the DH in a simulated game, man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. But you said he DH'd.
Yeah, but in like the minor league games for some of these players, like Josh Donaldson when he first came back,
he DH'd.
He would just be hitting like home runs and then he walked to the dugout.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Oh, he didn't have to walk around the bases?
No, he was like, screw that. I'm
big Josh guy. Donaldson. Yeah.
How much shade is that when you hit a home run and you drop the bat and walk to the dugout?
I'm good.
Does it count if you don't circle the bases?
Not really, no.
I don't think he really cares.
Oh, yeah.
But he cares about this WBC.
That's not fair, though, because you can't take that attitude to the minor leagues. This big shot, oh, I hit a home run. I don't have to circle the bases. I don't care. You can't do it.
No, you can't.
That's
yeah, he probably
nice.
Bought them a nice like dinner or a nice lunch, and they were probably grateful for that. And, we got to hang out with Josh Donaldson as well.
Take some pictures with him.
The first time in 3 weeks, Corey Seager played yesterday. Took 3 at-bats in the minor league game. Says he was totally fine. Played he should take today off. Play 5 more innings tomorrow. And then hopefully this weekend get back in the field, get ready to go. So, given the information we have...
He was 0-3, though.
He was.
And he struck out twice.
Yeah, he did.
That's fine.
But the thing is, he struck out twice. That means he had to really... He probably swung and really moved his body, though, Corey. So, I mean, he's really testing out that oblique.
No setbacks.
So, you okay with Corey Seager? You ready to go? Drafting a normal spot now?
We want to see him with no... We want to hear him. We want to monitor the story. No, as long as we don't see no setbacks, I feel pretty comfortable with Corey Seager. Obviously, you want to see if he gets, you know, back playing with the regular team and not with the JV.
I think there was a little bit of a buying opportunity. I mean, he moved down, not too much, but he went from, say, an early second-round pick, possibly late first in some instances, to more towards the middle to the end of the second round. I got him in the middle of the second round Sunday night, so very encouraged that he did just participate in the minor league game, and all signs point to him being fine for opening day. And Corey Seager looks to be in line for a 330 home run season. You know, maybe he's only going to get you a handful of stolen bases, but not a lot of people hit 300 and hit 30 home runs.
Oh, okay. I was lost for a minute right there, Matt. You say he looks to be in line for a 330 home run season. I'm like, that's a lot of damn home runs. He's goal number one if he's going to hit 330 home runs. But a 300 batting average, 30 home runs. Yeah, that's Corey Seager. That's how he gets there.
It's cool with you?
Yeah, I like Corey Seager.
Alright. So that's good news, right? That's good news.
Well, you have him on any teams, Matt?
I got him Sunday night.
Okay.
I got him.
And you could have him again this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend. He's a guy that I think he's actually now gonna creep back up to early second round.
Okay.
And I mean, there's really nothing wrong with him. I mean, the guy hits the ball pretty damn hard. It's pretty much elite hard contact. He's got the average seems firm. And this is a kid that had all the pedigree. We saw what he did last year. I mean, this, like I said, the only thing he doesn't really give you is stolen bases. I don't see him stealing a ton. Maybe he adds a couple of stolen bases to it. But with the back, maybe not.
So. Oblique,
Do him and Kyle Seager favor each other?
Favor each other?
Do they look alike?
Oh.
I don't think so. I think he's probably the better looking brother, put it that way.
Oh, now you have me Googling here. All right, Corey Seager. Yeah, it's true. Corey Seager's better looking one.
Yeah.
Kyle's the richer one, though.
Yes. Well, yeah, Kyle got, yeah.
Kyle's like the reliable guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm glad they made it.
You needed a ride to the airport, Kyle Seeger's there
for you. Yeah, because you're going to order an Uber with a $100 million contract. All right, that's the good news with Corey Seeger. The bad news is Didi Gregorius. He's going to miss almost... He's going to miss all of April, parts of May, with the shoulder injury. No baseball activity for the next 2 weeks. Then he'll start ramping things up. He's basically going to start from scratch. They hope to have him back mid-May. The Yankees say they're going to look internally for replacements. Raul Torres, the favorite. He was there last year, of course. Ruben Tejada is still there. It will not be Gleyber Torres, who the Yankees optioned to double A yesterday. Tyler Wade, also an option at the shortstop position. With this news, Matt, is Didi Gregorius still draftable?
I say no. I mean, I think he was a guy that he was pretty much going really late. I had no problem taking him. I think he made some nice adjustments and was turning into a nice little player. But if he's going to be gone for, I'm looking, 2 months, there's so many other options. Why am I going to hold Didi Gregorius on my bench? I think sometimes we hold players we shouldn't, and I think that's something, if you can start improving on that, that helps your team out a lot.
That's Didi. I was looking forward to Didi's a guy that you could have would have got late, gave you a little bit of pop. Probably, I think he could have been just as good as he was last season. So this is unfortunate. Obviously, he played in WBC with the Netherlands, so... You know, this is a WBC injury, and you don't want to see that because you want to see the, you know, everybody be healthy and the game thrive. And, you know, they had the baseball Olympics, you know, with no problems. But, yeah, so Didi. Now, the thing, now, what I don't understand, and why does they just bring the Torres kid up? You know what I mean? Give him a shot.
I think they just they want to just give him a little more season. He's going to force his way up. The kid is just too good. I mean, he showed it in the spring. He showed it in the Arizona Fall League. Except for the All-Star game where he struck out like 3 times, but like every other game in the Arizona Fall League, the kid was just tearing it up. He was the prized possession the Yankees got back in that trade, and this kid's just a stud. And it'll be interesting to see. The Yankees are going to move somebody, you know, Castro, or if Gregorius comes back and plays well, somebody's getting moved.
You know, I think ultimately, yes. I think the reason, that, to answer your question from my perspective here, Corey, they're not bringing Gleyber Torres up because they don't want to use the what's happening in the major leagues to rush Gleyber Torres' development. It's not like the Yankees are searching for a championship this year. I think if they were, it'd be a different story. But they want to manage Torres' expectations. Didi Gregorius is still a starter. Once you plug in Torres, that's it, right? Like, he's the guy, and that's over with. So they're going to give him time. He's going to Double A. He's not even going to Triple A. And we see players come from Double A all the time. But they're going to just take the internal approach and go with a, you know, a utility guy there for now.
Come on, you're like a plug-and-play.
A plug-and-play. A guy that probably has a better glove than bat,
yeah,
and just doesn't make mistakes.
No, I think that's value.
The
goal.
Probably not. And in regards to Didi Gregorius' fantasy value, I think it's tough. I mean, I know the guy hit almost 20 home runs last year, and I was excited about him as a middle infielder and someone I absolutely look for. However, with that being said, I don't think you could draft him now. There's just too many other guys.
So Matt, let me ask you this now. When so say when he's like you read the tea leaves and you're like, okay, Didi Gregorius is playing in a simulated game. Now will you go to the waiver wire and drop a couple Fab bucks?
That's a possibility, especially in a deep league. If he's out there, if my option, say my middle infielder, just ain't cutting it,
or something happens to him,
yeah, I'll try and be proactive a couple of weeks out, and you know,
on Didi a little bit earlier.
That first time I hear the news, you try and get, you know, you want to be one of the first. There's going to be like 5 other guys in the league that are trying to do the same thing at least that I'm doing. But yeah, he's definitely somebody that I like. You said I agree with you. He was going late. He was a nice option. He had a little pop. He was playing every day, and I think he really settled into Yankee Stadium. And
yeah, I think he liked it here.
He did the right, you know, his approach and everything.
We should go to a game, like, after the season start.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it. Let's take a break, though, first, before we go to a game.
Cool? Season ain't start yet, Greg.
All right, fantastic. Let's take a break. There's a couple of guys I want to ask about that we haven't really brought up all that much. And I'm interested in getting your guys' thoughts here as we kind of wind down just, 10 days away here from opening day. So I'm asking about those guys when we come back. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I asked about Hyunjin Ryu a little bit earlier. We talked about the Dodgers, and Mudika asked me about Kenta Maeda. And we even mentioned Clayton Kershaw. And we pretty much talk about Rich Hill every day. There's a Dodgers pitcher we haven't mentioned once on this show. And he's probably going to be in the rotation to start the year. It's not Scott Kazmir, whose velocity is in like the 70s. It's not Brandon McCarthy. Who probably will be in the rotation due to Ryu's injury. But it's Alex Wood, who came over from the Braves a couple of years ago. And Alex Wood is a guy that has perennially been on my teams. And he's had a nice little spring. He's kind of gotten a rotation spot. Malik, you're shaking your head a little bit here.
Yeah, because he just said a couple segments ago he was interested in Alex Wood.
Did you?
Yeah,
I did mention. When you did talk about Ryu before, he's the guy that I was really interested in.
Oh, I completely missed
it. All good. I wasn't shaking your head at that. I was looking at something.
You have every right to shake your head. I would have crossed it off my list. I had it here at the top, and I would have crossed it off. Well, Alex Wood, yeah, he's awesome. Great. Cool. Moving on.
No, we like Alex Wood.
We all like Alex Wood, right?
Okay. Well, but there is the... Look, yeah, the Dodgers got to pitch him until he breaks because they got, like, a handful of guys, like Brandon McCarthy, who's never going to stay healthy neither. I mean, Scott Kazmir, I thought, was done before last season. That was a terrible signing by the Dodgers. They'll just wind up eating the rest of that. I don't foresee him coming. And like I said, Ryu's a ways away. So, put Wood in. And you figure in a month or so, or a couple of weeks, we're going to see the guy we really want to see, Julio Urias. So that's the guy to be excited about.
So Wood is like he's like a strikeout and inning guy?
He's shown the potential. I mean, in Atlanta, he was very good that one year. Then people soured a little, but he's always had the skills. And then last season, he was becoming a really attractive ad, like a really, looked like he was going to be a waiver wire
I remember that.
But then again, you know, he just can't stay healthy.
No. He's another one of these guys that simply cannot stay healthy. I've actually, at some point last year, I think I picked up every one of the Dodger starters, just stashed him for a couple of weeks, thinking like, oh, I got this steal. I got this guy that's going to be a solid rotation piece for the rest of the year. And then they got hurt again, literally within seconds.
You and Nando's in the GST league, right?
We are. We're together.
That's cool.
That's it? There's no follow-up there? Just, hey, you doing this?
Y'all don't know y'all draft spots already, do y'all?
No.
Okay.
Are we supposed to?
No, I'm just asking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about, let's go to the other league. Let's go to the American League here.
Yay.
You like the American League?
Where the Yankees play.
They do play that, but you have the Nationals and the National League.
The Nationals are my National League team, correct.
What about IPK, Ian Kennedy, who we talk a lot about Robbie Ray checking a million dudes out and being very, very unlucky. Now, Ian Kennedy didn't have that super unlucky factor, but he does strike a ton of guys out. Over the weekend, he put six shutout innings of ball, and he looked pretty dominant. And we've said a bunch, Modica, that if you're looking late in your draft for strikeouts, like Ian Kennedy's like a solid option. How much of an option is Ian Kennedy for you?
Oh, he's the guy that you're going to look at for the back of your rotation to give you the innings. Like you say, he gives you the strikeouts every year. What helps Ian Kennedy is that he pitches at Kauffman Stadium. It suppresses home runs. I think he gave up, like, say, 12 at home and, like, 21 on the road off the top of my head. And that's something that helps him. Being like Arizona didn't help him. San Diego, Petco did help him. So he's a guy that I'm fine with in the back of my rotation. You know, you need, it's not all these young guys like the Lucas Giolitos and the Glasnows that are only going to pitch, you know, 100 innings or so. You want the guy that's going to give you 180 that you get for cheap. You know, there is value there.
But do I want Ian Kennedy, like, as someone that is going to be on my team all the time? Or is it somebody that, like, all right, I'll leave on the waiver wire, hopefully he doesn't get picked up and I can just stream him?
In like a 12-team league, you probably don't have to take him, or okay, you could take him as, you know, just a guy you could put in and out. You know, if he's pitching at home,
right?
You know, if he's pitching, say, at Tiger State, Comerica versus the Tigers, you might want to sit Ian Kennedy that day.
So that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's a big park,
if you like, you have him on your team weekly lineup, and he's in like one of these small ballparks, because giving up the long ball is an issue for Kennedy, right?
That has been his issue. But, I mean,
he's at a two-star week, and one game is it like Kauffman, and the other game is it like Camden?
If he's got a two-star week...
That's a great question.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it depends on how your rotation's looking and stuff. If he's on your roster, and he's got a home start, it's kind of hard not to pitch him in a two-start week.
Yeah.
My question is, then why is he on your roster?
Yeah, that's true, too. That makes sense, yeah.
It's a fair point. All right, so that's Ian Kennedy. What about a younger pitcher? He's screaming up draft boards right now, and that's Kevin Gausman. Now, Gausman over the weekend also pitched six innings, lightning ball. He's a name that's been there for a while, that people have drafted like, this is the year he's going to break out, this is the year he's going to break out. He had a good year last year for the most part. Where should we be drafting Kevin Gausman?
I think he should be like around anywhere from the late 20s to early 30s. I mean, late 20s is kind of early. I got him probably say early 30s in my starting pitcher ranks.
When you say early, okay, so early 30 ranks. So like, so let's just say early 30s is 32 to me when you say early 30s.
Okay, right? Yeah, so something take, about that. Okay. Yeah, maybe a few spots.
But. It doesn't matter. Who's around there?
I would say I have him in the Aaron Sanchez range.
Okay.
I have Stroman ahead of both. I think Stroman is I think Stroman,
because I don't have Stroman ahead of both.
Yeah, I think what he did in that second half really impressed the hell out of me. I think the strikeouts went up. The home run was his issue in the second half. That's really the thing that killed Stroman in the second half. I'm a Gausman fan. I know some people really love him, and some people are like, nah, I just ain't buying it. It's never really going to happen, that ballpark. But I have no problem with Kevin Gausman in my rotation. I don't want him as my number two, that's for sure.
I don't think you'd draft him as number two, though.
I know.
Would you take him as number three?
If I had to, I would. I'd prefer him as my number four, though.
Let me ask you this. Like, you like him or Michael Pineda?
I would go Gausman.
Yeah, I'd go Gausman, too, there.
What about Gausman or Dallas Keuchel?
So I got them pretty close. If Keuchel continues, I'm drafting this weekend, I'm probably going to take the shot on Keuchel.
Okay.
It's close, though. It's real close.
That's a good one. That was a good one, Corey.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see. I want to find a good one. It's Corey. All right.
Trying to one-up me.
I'll give you a good one.
Let me do one. Because I know, like, ADP-wise, like, James Paxton's around Kevin Gausman. I know you'll take Paxton 1,000 times over because you're James Paxton's, like, the leader of his fan club. But what about Kevin Gausman or Lance McCullers?
I'm going to go with McCullers for the upside. I just think...
So you don't love Kevin Gausman?
No, I do like him. I don't... I would draft him on my team, like, especially like in an AL only. I paid for him last week in Todd Zola's league. It's not that I don't like him. I look at it, it's all about, I mean, I know this, I say this a lot, but it truly is about how you construct your rotation and what it allows you to do. So I think Kevin Gausman is fine. If I had to take him as my three, I think he could make the, he showed he was taking that step in the second half. I think he's going to take another step this year. I think Bundy's going to take the step. I do like Dylan Bundy a lot, too.
What's the negative in Kevin Gausman? Like, you're saying if I had to do this, I would. It depends how I make the rotation. What is the negative on him?
The ballpark does scare you. The ballpark, the American League East, he's only showed it to me in a half season. He is a former fourth overall pick. He hasn't, like, done it over the full season. But, I mean, I can make that assumptions about other things, but Camden is a cruel place at times.
So it sounds, I mean, from what you just told me, the only negative here is Camden. Like, that's it? That's the only thing I'm worried about?
It's not the only negative. I mean, I think Lance McCullers has a higher upside. But the question is, at the point, if you really need innings, then I'm going to take Kevin Gausman. If I need somebody, say if my second pitcher was a bit shaky, a bit risky, per se, then I think Gausman's going to give you the innings. That's not going to be a problem this year. He is their ace, whether he gets the opening day nod or not. I mean, Chris Tillman, I believe, is still
the DL.
So it should be him that gets the thing. But I guess the guys I have back-to-back, and the question, I compare him, like I said, if he makes that step, you're going to be rewarded. But It's still an issue. I mean, I have him around Jonathan Sanchez. I mean, if you really believe Jonathan Sanchez is going to throw you another 3 ERA, then I'm totally wrong. I like Sanchez. I think he's going to be more than 350.
Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jonathan Sanchez got cut.
Jonathan
that's fine.
Sanchez is a bum.
Yeah. Aaron Sanchez, not a bum. People like Aaron Sanchez. Had a good year last year.
I like him, too. And like I said, I have them you know, in the 30s. They're still, you know, if you're a top 36 pitcher, I think that's pretty damn good. But for like Gausman, the thing I'll say is, like him and John Gray, they're playing very difficult parks. John Gray is playing in the National League. If I had to take the gamble, I'm going to gamble on John Gray over Kevin Gausman.
Gausman or Danny Salazar?
Danny Salazar.
Gausman or Felix Hernandez?
Gausman.
You hate Felix Hernandez.
It's just, I mean, why? I mean, after what I saw last year, and it's, I think it's just going to be painful at times. I think sometimes he's going to have those Felix games, and there's going to be other games where, oof.
Gausman or Matt Shoemaker?
I knew he was going to say my name.
It's Gausman, but it's very close.
It's funny. Fantasy,
you like Matt Shoemaker? Right?
I do like Matt
Shoemaker. So Fantasy Pros has Matt Shoemaker at 58.
Yeah.
Has Kevin Gausman at 36.
Yeah, I think people are sleeping on Matt Shoemaker. I think this, I mean, two guys I love late for people is in the National League, as I said it yesterday, Jared
Eichhoff.
Eichhoff, he's got 21 strikeouts, the 4 walks, and 19 minor league innings so far. I mean, Matt Shoemaker, I think, is a guy. Hey, look, he got that line drive in September, but I think he's fine from that. Was not an arm injury or anything. He's the guy that the Angels are going to rely on. He's the guy that they're going to need the innings from. Garrett Richards is going to be handled with kid gloves. And if you look deep into Matt Shoemaker, he's like, you know, he's got some crazy first pitch and swing and strike percentage.
Hey, let me ask you, look, this is off topic a little bit.
Then hold on. Kevin Gausman or Taiwan Walker?
Kevin Gausman.
All right, cool.
If you, like, do you think Matt Shoemaker has watched the play of him getting hit with the baseball?
I'm going to say if it was me, I probably wouldn't watch it.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't watch it.
Because if you want to get back on that mound, you don't want to see that again.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it.
I wouldn't watch it either.
Mm-mm, I'd be like, no, I'm good.
A couple of more questions I have for Matt Wodiga. This time it involves hitting and Corey Parson, of course. He's a fantasy executive.
No, I'm here.
He's in Tat Wars. I'll ask both of these guys. Cut him next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. About 100 pitchers that I had some questions on. But as we're getting deeper and deeper here, in closer to the drafts that I'm going to be participating in, which is the important ones, Corey, of course.
That's what it's about. This is not about your team. This is about our teams.
Just so everyone's clear. Although we'll answer your questions, 844-843-6879, obviously. But I freaking love, and I've said this about a month ago to Tony and Corey and Scotty, I freaking love Odubel Herrera a lot. And I think he's the right ballpark, the right type of player, the three spot in the lineup. He's had a nice little spring at the WBC. Now he's back. He's hitting again at Citizens Bank. I love Odubel Herrera. Is that stupid?
No, he's a good little player going where I believe he should be going. And he's a guy I have no problem rostering. I like him.
Well, it's one thing to say no problem rostering. And
I like
him.
No, I'm saying I really don't have, I have a bad thing to say about Odubel Herrera. I like the player. It's a great story. I like rooting for him. And I think he's in the, as you say, he's in the perfect situation.
Last year, Odubel had 15 home runs. He had 25 steals. I mean, he strikes out 20% of the time. Not extremely egregious. Batted .286. The OBP was .361. The BABIP was, you know, the lowest of his career. Like, everything I see about this guy, everything I look into about this guy, it's amazing. Like, he's awesome.
He walks a good amount of times, too.
He walks. Yeah. He walks almost 10% of the time. Like, these are all numbers that I think he's going to do again.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I said, nothing bad, nothing but love for Odubel. So.
Where's he going?
I believe he's going, well, let's see. He's probably going a couple of rounds later. We've got to do the math with the 12-teamer.
No problem.
But, you know, I got to say, I think he's going, say, in a 15-team, he's going to say 10th. So maybe he's going like 12th round.
This is like a steal with a 15-25 guy.
No, that's, and not a lot of people do that. That's what people seem to forget. Everybody thinks, you know, and even if it's like somebody did it once.
I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to reach for this guy because I want him so badly.
Yeah, no, if that's a guy that you really want and say he was going in the 12th round of a 12-teamer, then take him in the 11th
take
round. Why say, don't ever be a slave to ADP, especially now. That. Like these ADPs you're looking at, okay, they're just, it's like a market gauge. It's giving you an idea of where players are going. And I do it. If it's a guy I really want, I'm not going to say, well, I have to wait. I'm going to look stupid. I took him too early. Screw that. It's your team. Get the players you want on your team. As long as you believe in them, as you stated the stats for him, take them.
All right, there you
promo
go.
Cut.
You don't have to say it on the air. You can just literally tell Florio during the commercial. All right, so that's the guy that I freaking love. Another guy that I was in on perhaps until last night he got hurt was Carlos Gomez. Same type of reason, because I think he has that 15 home run, 25 steal type of guy. He gets hurt last night, legging out a triple. He says he's going to be fine. It's all precautionary, whatever. Are we in on Carlos Gomez?
He's a guy that I'm in on to an extent. I'm not one of the guys that's going to reach for him.
Where's he going right now?
He's going a little later too. I think he's going probably around the same range as Herrera. I'd rather have Herrera than
same, because he's younger and better.
Yeah, no. Look, Carlos Gomez had a couple of really fantastic years. He's getting older. He's got to stay healthy, and if this injury is turned out to be something serious, that will just move up the guy you talked about yesterday. You brought up Delino DeShields Jr.
That's right. That's right.
So, okay. But he was good a couple years ago.
No, I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just saying there's other guys I'd rather. I don't think he's a guy that I need to reach for. I don't think he's that. A couple years ago, we thought he was going to be a star. Like, he was going to be a guy that was, you know, and to his credit, what he did last season, coming back after getting cut, you know, that just shows you right there that this is a guy that, you know, loves the game. He's a guy that, you know, wants to succeed and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not that I hate him. I do like him. I like the skills that he offers. But I'm not. The only point I'm trying to make is I'm not going out of my way for Carlos Gomez. He's going at 153.
I'm about to say.
Where's Odubel going?
Odubel is actually going higher.
It's a joke, for the record. Unless higher means like better.
Better. He's
not a joke.
He's going 120.
Oh, all right.
So
he's climbing.
Yeah.
He's going now 120 overall.
120 overall.
That's 10th round, man. Yeah. That's not 12th here.
That's not 12th.
Yeah. That's climbing. Jesus, I got to go. All of a sudden, in the fourth round next week of my draft, you're going to see me draft the Odubel Herrera.
So let me throw out some player comps for Carlos Gomez to you.
And Odubel, can we do both at the same time?
All right, Carlos Gomez, Odubel, and Joey Bats.
Odubel or Jose Bautista, is that the question?
Yeah.
Because we all like Odubel.
Let's start with Odubel.
We all like Odubel better than Carlos Gomez.
Okay.
So right?
All right.
So to me, Herrera or Bautista, I got to go Bautista there.
It's those guys right currently are going like 7 picks apart.
Nice job, Corey. God, you're good at this.
So that's, I mean, for me, I am a Joey Bats fan. For the power, if I need the power, I'm going Bautista. But overall, I'll probably take Herrera.
Okay. What about Herrera or Andrew Benintendi?
You know what? I'm going to go with the guy that did it last year. I'm going to go with Odubel.
I like that.
You like Odubel?
I feel like it's just the Scott. Matt, are there other guys like Odubel that I should know about? Because I discovered him when doing research, and I didn't know how good he was. Are there other guys I need to know about that I need to add to my list?
Well, I think the guy going 8 picks, I think we talked about him last week. We kind of did.
Well, so really mention it again. I got to make sure he's
on the list. Adam Eaton, who I think is going to score like 1,000 runs. And
but where's he going to bat? Because Dusty
I think he's batting leadoff. I mean, I think if it came down to it, the GM would basically tell Dusty, look, you're batting this guy leadoff. I traded, you know, these high-end prospects and all this. It makes no sense not to bat him leadoff.
You know, the fantasy owners don't like Dusty. And I think the last time I looked at roster resources, like, he was batting at the bottom.
6 or 7, yeah.
Let's put it. I think he's back up in the one hole.
Shout out to roster resources.
I'll put Adam Eaton on the list then. Who else? They're like names that I'm just not going to realize how good of a year they
have. Well, I'll tell you one thing. For like Odubel Herrera, the average is probably going to be less.
Okay.
But you'll get him, say, another. Well, where's he going? Odubel's
the one going 120, is all right.
Yes. A guy later on, if I don't get Odubel, the guy that I've been targeting, because I can get him later, is Kevin Kiermaier.
You love Kevin Kiermaier.
I think, you know, Kevin Kiermaier is he's going, you know, 50, 60 picks later. He's going to, you know, play every day. And like I said, he's a 15, 25 guy with a 20, 30 upside.
Roster Resource has Adam Eaton batting out the two-hole.
Out of the two-hole now? What are they doing?
Where's Trey Turner batting then?
One.
Interesting. They don't know what they're doing. That's what
they're kind of like speculating, just like we are. But yeah, still, it's nice to see.
But speculate. See, that makes no sense for other reasons. Because if you bat Turner leadoff, number one, he's right-handed. Then you have Eaton, Murphy, and Harper. So I don't like this.
Left-handed bats.
I don't like this lineup. I like Harper batting third.
Yeah, me too.
You know.
Yeah.
I gotta have a sit down with Dustin.
You give him a call. I know your boys in them. Quickly here, guess who's back? My man Michael Brantley's playing again. Are we comfortable now, Matt? No, you're not.
I'm still not. I mean, is he going to hold up? That's my main question. Look, I could be wrong, and I'm fine with being wrong on this one.
All right. We'll take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to play a little AC Deucey.
Play a little what?
We'll play AC Deucey again.
What's that?
It's a game.
Okay.
It's a card game or dice game, but I don't have dice or cards, so we're going to do it this way. Stick around. You're Pro Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Modica, Parsons, Sussman, we are all with you on a Wednesday. It's hump day. Happy hump day. It's also Deuce Deuce, the 22nd.
Triple deuce.
Well, double.
Double deuce.
Double deuce.
I'm getting excited. I'm getting, you know, three. That'd
have been, February 22nd.
We passed that already. So we'll play a little AC Deucey in a moment. Before we do, Shimmer's got a question for us on Twitter.
Oh, Shimmer.
Shimmer says he's got to pick his last two keepers. Here are the choices. Who you got? Two of these five guys, and they're interesting guys. I'm happy you brought them up. Tyler Skaggs, Michael Waka, Francisco Liriano, Irvin Santana, Archie Bradley. Who you got? Tyler Skaggs, Michael Waka, Francisco Liriano, Irvin Santana, Archie Bradley. We'll start with you, Matt. Okay.
Waka, Skaggs, Santana. For the keeper aspect, I'll throw Skaggs in there. But if I'm playing for this season, I'm going, I don't know how deep this league is neither. But for 2017,
you now have all the information I have.
Yes, but for 2017, if I was just doing it on 2017 alone, it would be Liriano and Santana. Keeper purposes, I'll put Tyler Skaggs in there. And you know what? I think Liriano's going to have a good year, so I'll go Liriano.
So no matter what, you're going Liriano and Skaggs.
Yeah, I mean, Archie Bradley, could he make that next step? Yeah, but he's got to get the control, and that park didn't do him any favors, so I'm not buying that. Walker, I do like this year, but he's got to prove the health, too. I'll take the health risk on Skaggs.
Walker's intriguing, is intriguing guy, mm-hmm, out of this bunch. These are players that are also ranked right together also, so this is a good list. Walker's very, very intriguing, becoming even more so intriguing, but I think I like Liriano a little bit more. But Walker is interesting.
Yeah, no, that was probably my next one that I would have to... But I think you make a great point there, Corey. And not an easy choice out of that group, but I think Skaggs is the guy to hope pops.
For me, out of these guys, like, if you're playing for this year, so, yeah, I mean, I think you guys are all on the same page as all of you. Like, I'm choosing between Skaggs, Walker, and Liriano for my two. Like, I like Waka because of St. Louis, but the strikeout rate's gone down every single year. It's very frustrating. I think it was Skaggs and Liriano. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like you're not that, you don't feel that great.
No, it's two of those three, though. So Skaggs and Liriano, those are the choices. All right, let's play AC Deucey. It's not the real way. This way is a little less fun because there's no money on the line, and you're not, and it's not stupid, which is just really higher or lower. But nevertheless, I'm going to name a random player. You're going to tell me if he could be an ace for your fantasy team. It's not a pitcher. There's no pitchers on here. If he could be like an ace, or he's a deuce. which, you know, you can go to the bathroom downstairs here, Rock and Riley's, and drop one of those. So if you want to go drop one of these guys downstairs, you let me know if he's a deuce, or you let me know he's an ace. This is AC Deucey. Here we go. Corey Parson. Trevor Story. Is he an AC or a deucey?
He's an AC.
You got
huh?
Would you like to explain?
No, Trevor Story, he's one of the best. Shortstop is a deep position, obviously, getting deeper, but he's one of the top shortstops in the game. I wouldn't see why in a situation why he wouldn't be an ace. This is a guy that you're looking for about 30 home runs, 15, maybe 15 stolen bases, driving 100 runs. Trevor Story, one of the top players on the board. Love the ballpark, health, you know what I mean? Health, as long as he's healthy, he's going to give you 30 bombs.
AC Deucey, Trevor Story. Where, I mean, and of course, it's all relative. Like, Trevor Story's a good player, but it's all relative where he's going, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, he strikes out a lot. I assume the average goes down. Like, Trevor Story, AC Deucey.
I'm going to say AC. I mean, Coors does give him that. Coors is that nice buffer for him. Because he is going to strike out a lot, but he is going to hit a ton of home runs. I mean, that his batted ball profile is pretty sick. His home run distance is pretty crazy. And he plays in Coors Field 81 games of the year.
four doubles and four home runs in the spring.
Yeah, like I said, the health is the only really issue. The batting average is aided by Coors Field because you get that like 50 point boost.
So there you go.
50 points is the
at home. Yeah, they get like a 50 point boost at home.
Holy crap!
And they lose like I think it's 20 points or wow. I don't think it's 30, but something like that. Jeff Zimmerman of FanGraphs did a really great article on it. So if people want to check that out, I have to give him props.
Shout out to Jeff Zimmerman.
Jeff Zimmerman.
I would have never did that.
No. So Trevor Story for both these gentlemen is an AC. Mm-hmm. Where you guys drafting Trevor Story?
You're going to have to take him around, you know, pick 30 in that range a little before.
Pick 30 overall.
Overall.
So you're talking right at the end of the second round.
I'm probably,
if I have the choice, I'm going to take Brian Dozier over him. Just because Brian Dozier, I feel more confident in the stolen bases. And Brian Dozier scores 100 runs every year. The only question with Story is, where's he batting in the lineup? With Ian Desmond out, that should secure
that,
him.
You're not worried about that yet. Yeah. Anymore, at least for now. What about Ian Desmond? We haven't heard anything about him because he had a surgery. Now he's on the mend. What do we do about him?
How quickly we forget.
AC Deucey, Ian Desmond.
For me now, he's a Deucey.
Go to the bathroom, drop it off.
Deucey, I agree. Deucey. Listen, I mean, good player. I like his tools. I like his offensive game. I think he's a very fantasy-friendly guy and would have been also, you know what I mean, now that he's in Colorado. But... And this guy's going to miss. He's going to miss a month of the season. And then when he come back, you know that hand is still going to bother him.
Yeah, they're saying it could be longer than that. And as Corey says, it's the hand. That's what you know. If it was a pitcher with the elbow, we would be very scared too. So,
see, because they put something in his hand too. They put a plate in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's plates are not supposed to be in.
It's probably
hands.
You think that's PEDs plate using a plate. In your hand?
No, they probably just wanted to stabilize the bone. They probably like, well, you know, you're a baseball player. Let's stabilize the bone. And we don't want it to break again.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
Fine.
I'm not a doctor, but
no,
that would be my guess.
No. But Dr. A will be on the Ultra Fantasy Hour.
Greg, that was an excellent segue. Dr. A coming up today, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Old School Fantasy Hour with the OGs.
Absolutely. All right. How about, this one's for you, Modica. Another shortstop. I got a couple shortstops on here, so we'll stick in that range. Aldemus Diaz, shortstop, St. Louis Cardinals, off to the hottest start in baseball last year. AC or Deucey?
I'm going to go Deucey for the fact that there's other guys I'm going to go after. I don't think he's a bad player, but I'm going to just for the game, I'm going Deucey.
All right. Tough one.
Dude. I gotta go. I'm gonna go AC.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go AC. I 300 batting average. You know what I mean? 18. Maybe you probably get between 15 and 18 home runs. You know, maybe 10 stolen bases. Yeah, I can get down with Diaz.
I think maybe I'm taking the approach. I just want to see it again.
I get it. Where is he going, gentlemen?
Oh, he's going about in 15 team leagues. I think he's going probably in the ninth, something like that.
Where is Diaz? He is going 150th
overall. 150th
overall.
So in 12 team leagues, it's a 13th round.
He's right now the 13th shortstop off the board.
Which sounds about right to me, I think. Which sounds about right, I think. Yeah, I think he's a doozy for me.
I mean, would you take Addison Russell?
Yes.
Or? I would go with Russell as well.
See, nobody thinks he's a top 10 guy.
Would you take Troy Tulowitzki or him?
This one, I'd probably go with Diaz.
It's reasonable.
I'll stick with my choice of album. Almeida.
Would you go with Almeida's Diaz or Tim Anderson?
Tim Anderson.
Wow.
I couldn't even finish saying
Tim
Anderson.
I mean, for the speed, now that he got this contract, he is going to be entrenched in that lineup. He, you know, he's going to get every opportunity. Yeah. So, I mean, for that alone, I've been taking Tim Anderson, who's going 5 picks behind Diaz, and I've been taking him in the 11th round consistently. So now I feel more, as I said yesterday, more
very bold. Early in both players' careers. I like both of them. Yeah, I really do.
I think
both
Courtney's
of them.
Right. I mean, as far as the plate skills, I think Diaz has the better plate skills. That's Tim Anderson's crutch.
But Tim Anderson is going to steal 30 bases for
but
you.
But when you have that speed, you could hit weak grounders and beat them out as well.
Yeah, that's true too.
I'm going to take Tim Anderson here. I think the one thing theoretically that Adamas Diaz has over Anderson would be that power, right? So 17 home runs last year. Probably not seeing that from Tim Anderson, but only 4 steals. What I do love about Diaz, he doesn't strike out. Like that's awesome for a young player, of course. Batted 300. The Babbitt was only 312. Like, it wasn't crazy. The OBP was fantastic at 369. Now, he is 26 years old, so I'm not sure how much he's growing here at this point. Anderson, of course, a little bit younger. So I'll probably take Anderson, but it is close. I agree, gentlemen. He's right around that top 12 shortstop. You said he's 13 right now. He's right on that borderline.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're probably about to ask this player. I'm about to
ask him. No, ask him. Go ahead.
What about when you look at these two shortstops, Matt? What do you think between Swanson and Anderson put Swanson in the mix with Diaz and Anderson?
Swanson's he's well behind them.
I
think Swanson is going to be a good MLB player. I know a lot of people try and use the Derek Jeter comp of that kind of, like, you know, he'll hit for a nice average, he'll hit some homers, he'll steal some bases. You know, I'm not on the Dansby Swanson train this year. I think he's going to be a good player even this season. I don't think he's going to do anything so terrific. Put it that way.
I'm with you 100% in everything you said. There's nothing that stands out. Like, I know Tim Anderson is going to get a little speed. I know with Diaz, I'm going to get a little bit of power. Played 40 games last year, 3 home runs, 3 stolen bases, batted 300. That Babbitt was at 383. He played 84 games in AA. That was it. I'm going to pause on Dansby Swanson. I'll let him do it this year. I'll miss it, and then I'll get him next year.
Yeah, I totally agree with the way you broke it down. Like you said, he really doesn't have that 84 games, you know. So, I mean, the second season, you know, they have some tape on him now, and they'll have an approach. So things get a little tougher that sophomore season.
I'm with you. All right, the next one, I realize he's a little bit lower than these guys, but I feel like he could have a nice little year, which is why I bring it up. AC Ducey, Corey Parson on Orlando Arcia.
Orlando Arcia, huh?
Brother of Oswaldo Arcia. Brewers top prospect. Said he was bored in AAA. And now here he is in the big show.
Well, he gets a chance to come up to the big show, and we're looking at him. It all depends on what you want to do with your stolen bases. This is the kid that's going to hit around 250, you know, but one thing about the Milwaukee Brewers, they are a team that likes to run. He'll give you that 20 stolen bases. I don't know if I like that batting average enough, though. To take on, I mean, really, you're paying for that speed. Maybe a possible 60 run scored. Excuse me. If he can get it up, if he can get 250, 255, I think he's a consolation prize. More shortstop position too deep. I'm gonna go Ducey.
I'm gonna follow Corey with the Ducey on this one. Not that I don't think this kid's gonna be good. I do think Corey made a very important fact that the Brewers just run crazy, so that can help you there. He's going so late, like 295. I'd rather just at that point. There's a guy, Jorge Polanco, I'd probably take over him.
I think so too. So I was, you know, Orlando Arcia, in a way, like Jose Berrios last year, one of these top guys that you had heard about all winter long as somebody that could come up early, that could do some damage, somebody you're going to want on your team. And Orlando Arcia came up kind of around the trade deadline last year after the Brewers traded everybody away. And, you know, didn't hit very many hits. Batted .219. Did have 8 stolen bases and 4 home runs. I think the average is going to go up. I really do. Like, that .267 BABIP, I think, goes up in a major way. Strikeouts weren't terrible. I think Orlando Arcia can have a nice little year. I really do. I don't think you need to draft him, but I think he's someone you want to put on your watch list early because I think he can have a nice year, play a full season in the majors.
You need some plate discipline.
The problem is, like, he only struck out 22% of the time. That wasn't like 30. It's not like there's not like Miguel Sano.
You
here.
Don't walk either, though. No, so you know, you don't walk. You don't do nothing. Now his value comes in his speed, his ability to steal bases,
yes.
And they're going to give him the opportunity to do that. Put it like this: he's from Venezuela. He wasn't on a WBC team. Well, they didn't accept him.
I think there's a guy that's going right next to him.
That's true, too. You never know.
Loser.
There's a guy going right next to him who I think could wind up being a nice little sleeper in the middle infield position, and that's Chris Owings of the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, you mentioned him in the past. Chris Owings, of course, Diamondbacks shortstop, and they tried him at second base, they tried him at center field, he played a little bit of everything. But now he's their starting shortstop. Last year, played 119 games, he had 5 home runs, which is weak, of course, but 21 stolen bases with a much better average than Orlando Arcia, .315 OBP. He walks less than Orlando Arcia. So they are very similar, and it makes sense why they're going next to each other. But, so for me, like, I know it's crazy to say for a 25-year-old, but I kind of know what Chris Owings is at this point. Like, I think there's more potential in Orlando Arcia.
Well, I think, like you said, he's now going to be the everyday shortstop. There's always been that with Ketel Marte. Not Ketel Marte.
T. Gregorius.
They traded for Segura last year.
Yep.
There was, I mean, even fooling around with Nick Ahmed for some reason. Some other guys. I'm trying to think of, there's another guy, too, that they've even...
Well, Brandon Drury was there.
Hey. This kid Owens, isn't he going to? He has some outfield eligibility too, though, right?
Yeah, he played center field for them last year. Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think the 20 bases, he could steal more than that. So, you know, he's going to be in a good lineup and a good park.
So, and then are those two guys ahead or below Jorge Polanco?
Both of those guys are like, say, 60, 70 picks ahead.
60, 70 picks ahead?
They're going like 294, 295. I think Polanco is going like 360.
Now, Polanco, and I'll be totally honest with you, Jorge Polanco is someone I had no idea who he was until we started doing this back in January. Like, I didn't know this guy existed last year. And he played 69 games, 4 stolen bases, of course, 4 home runs, the average .282, OBP .332, walks 6% of the time, strikes out 17% of the time. There's a lot to like about Jorge Polanco. Another guy entrenched in the lineup, probably going to hit near the top. I know it's not a friendly, it's not friendly up there in Minnesota. It's not a fun team to have guys on. However, Jorge Polanco is a name that I think people should know. Again, probably not to draft, but somebody that if you're in need of a shortstop early, don't sleep on Jorge Polanco.
In 15-team leagues, I think he might be drafted.
Yeah, no, in 15-team leagues, you're going to take these guys like in reserve rounds. Chris Owens will probably go right before the reserve round, but Arcia and Polanco will go before the 30th round. But in a 12-team league, these are guys, if you see them get off to a hot start or something, sometimes people want to wait. They want to, you can't wait. It's like if a pitcher that we really weren't, you know, expecting has a 12-strikeout game, and if you're like in a Yahoo league, pick that guy up.
Right.
Drop your middle reliever, pick him up, and, you know, if you don't want to start him next time, that's fine. But you have him, and if he does turn out to be something, you got that guy.
Yeah. So for me, it's like when we draft, like, Owings, Arcia, Polanco, they're all guys that are immediately going to go on the watch list. I'm not going to draft any of them. Mm-hmm. They're on the watch list. And I really am going to keep an eye on them for a couple of weeks and see if they get off to a hot start.
Hey, he's slugging .550 in the spring.
He's a name to watch, man.
3 home runs, 4 doubles.
How many steals? You got that too?
Stolen bases in the spring. That's during the season.
We're talking about Jorge Polanco, right?
Yeah, spring training, he didn't steal no bases in the spring.
That's okay.
He was caught stealing once, though, so he made an attempt.
He's trying.
You like that? I like to see that. Listen, trying is, you know, trying is
A for
is
effort.
Good. A for effort. So there you go right there. Nah, this is interesting. So maybe this is a little something
where there's
right
a will,
here.
There's a... There's a way.
Take a break.
I'll make you holler.
We're going to come back, play a little bit more AC Ducey. We did the shortstops. Let's go to the outfielders here. There's a whole bunch of outfielders. And I got to know from Matt and Corey, are they AC or Ducey? Stick around. Deuce, Deuce, March 22nd. We can roll on right after this. We're back here. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have some NFL news notes, including Mel Kiper's new mock draft, which I know Corey wants to get into. So we have some news and notes. We'll get to at the bottom of the hour, and then, of course, the mock draft. So we'll do the whole football from 9:30 to 10. Cool, Corey?
Yeah, because I'm looking at that, right? Yesterday you did the Fantasy Football Frenzy. I flew solo on that one.
I know, yeah. I listened. I can listen again today when it airs.
Yeah, much like my love life.
Scotty Eagle smiling somewhere.
I haven't heard that in an hour and a half.
So the Fantasy Football Frenzy, Fantasy Executive flying solo, that'll be today at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So I dropped my first one-man mock draft, me from every spot in the first round.
Oh, man. Are you very fair with this? Like, do you have the Giants taking, like, some crap player because, like, New York Giants?
No. My one-man mock draft for fantasy, where I say 1.0, where today, what I would do at every spot in the first round, and then I did, like, fantasy rankings for free agent signings. So I just, you know, a hint is Deion Sims was 12, Kenny Britt was 7. Listen to the show today, find out who number one was, and then my one man mock draft has a very interesting person coming in at 112 that nobody would expect to be there.
All right, there you go. Let's continue on with a little AC Ducey.
All right, let's go. I like this, Greg.
You mentioned Chris Owings a moment ago. And that leads me now to A.J. Pollock. He missed so much of last year with the elbow injury. He was a first-round pick, arguably, certainly a second-round pick last year. Missed almost the entire year with an injury. What do we expect from A.J. Pollock? Is he an AC or is he a Ducey, gentlemen?
Maybe it's my bias. I'm going to say AC. I think he's just too good of a player. He's just got to stay on the field.
Corey Parson.
See, I like him, and I think he is a good player. Very toolsy. I mean, he can do a lot of things for your fantasy team. I remember when Ronis was saying, he's going to break out, and he did break out. Damn, Adam Ronis. He then ended up breaking out. But now, listen, the injuries have caught up with him. See, Matt, I think the ability to stay on the field is just as much as a skill as the ability to steal 30 bases or to hit, you know what I'm saying, 20 home runs. So I'm kind of like, I don't know. I want to like A.J. Pollock, but I'm scared of the injuries. I'll be honest with you.
He was a guy a couple months back. I was taking like the very end of the second round, early third round.
He's moving up to the beginning of the second round now, right?
He was pretty much in that area, maybe early third at the worst. But in Sunday night's draft, he fell. And in the fourth round, I had to make a decision.
He fell to the fourth round?
He was there. I went with Gregory Polanco just on the health.
He's a Ducey to you then, it sounds
like. No, he's not. At that point, I just want to see some more good news. I want to see that he's going to be healthy this season.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you. Did you do a draft last night?
No, I did not.
When's the last time you did a draft?
Sunday night.
So you don't...
There'll be no more drafts till Friday.
Darn it. I wanted to know how did J.D. Martinez drop?
And Sunday night, he went 49th overall, which was, as I said,
That's not really a drop.
No. I mean, he dropped a little, but he needs to severely...
Let me see if they posted one last night. Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right.
I'm listening.
AJ Pollock is just one of these guys I'm not sure about. And I look to you guys for advice because I don't know. I don't know what to expect from AJ Pollock. I know he got a little bit banged up in the spring. He's fine. But like AJ Pollock could be someone that you draft and you get a first rounder in the fourth or fifth round. But he can be also somebody that doesn't stay healthy. Like, he's a guy that has, you know, as we saw in his breakout campaign in 2015, 20 home runs, 40 stolen bases. Like, he has this potential.
I mean,
there's a lot to like.
A player like this, right? It all depends on really
your
draft strategy. Are you aggressive drafter? Are you aggressive when it comes to buying upside, buying in on players? Are you a guy that's going to go out there, beat riverboat gambling, and say, you know what? Screw it. I'm putting the big bread up. I'm trying to win this league. I'm going to go ahead and take the gamble, take the shot on AJ Pollock. Do you look at it as a buying opportunity? Hop in there, get him. and try to reap the benefits, all you guys are going to be more conservative and say, you know what, I'm going to stick to the back of the baseball card. I'm going to try to avoid these injuries. I think it's all personal preference. We know what he is as a player, but the bottom line is some dudes don't have the balls to draft him.
They don't, but I think I'm going to.
Yeah, I think it could really pay off. You can get that return on investment with him. If, like we say, if we guaranteed the pitcher 200 innings, if we guaranteed him the plate appearances, he's going to be one of the top hitters. He's going to fill the categories for you. He's going to hit for average. He's going to hit your double-digit homers, steal your 30 bases, you know, get your runs. So,
right quick. Do you play in the Mike the Mouth League?
This year, he moved it up to an ultimate, and originally I had been invited. I declined. I'm doing an ultimate, though, on Monday night online.
What is an ultimate, for those that have no idea?
What's it? That's like $2,500 entry fee?
Is that what it is? Just a high entry fee? Is that the difference?
It's a very high entry
fee. It's always higher than $2,500. That's what he's saying
I think he's saying significantly higher.
Yeah, he's kind of saying to mind your business.
Yeah. Something I don't feel comfortable talking about.
But that's what an ultimate is, just like a higher buy-in?
Yeah, it goes, okay. There's the super, which the Mike the Mouth League was.
What are the tiers here?
The super was $2,500.
So then the ultimate is higher than that, you're saying?
Yes.
Is there anything higher than the ultimate?
Yes.
The platinum.
There's the diamond, which is, yeah. And then there's the platinum.
So there's diamond, platinum, then ultimate.
And then super.
And then super. Yeah. Do you play in a diamond league?
No. I do strive to one day. Hopefully, if I take down this ultimate, I will be playing in the diamond.
That's like, you know, the diamond is like Glenn Lowy. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I've watched like Dave Potts and Lowy and those guys compete in the platinum, which used to be 20 grand. Now it's like 15 grand.
Yeah.
But, they lowered it.
Yeah. It's a lot to ask for 20 grand.
Tell me about it. That's a lot to ask, Modica.
What's the homie up in Canada, Silva? That's his name, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, Rob.
Rob Silva, yeah, he plays at that level,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's in the diamond, too, yeah, this year. Rob's a real good
Can
guy.
Can I just, like, do you think if I just, like, ask Glenn Lowy, like, hey, dude, like, I know you're playing in, like, the diamond that's, like, I know you played the platinum that was like 20 grand. Like, now it's only 15 grand. So, can I just have that 5 extra grand that you didn't want anyway? Think you'd give it to me?
Well, probably
not.
Didn't Glenn win like a platinum football league this year? I mean, Glenn is one of the probably, if not the best, he's one of the best double high stakes fantasy players there is. And he's a hell of a great guy, too. So, I mean, he's a guy that I'm looking forward to hanging out this weekend and then in Vegas the following weekend.
You know what?
I like Glenn Lowy. He's a nice guy.
He's cool cat. I'm looking at.
Kind of some of his money, though.
Huh?
What?
What are you saying?
Nothing.
Okay.
Isn't he the two-time
Fantasy Cup champion? He is.
Two-time?
Two-time.
He won in both of you? I didn't know he won. I need to get into Fantasy Cup then.
Why the hell are you not in the Fantasy Cup?
It's true.
Well, Scott Engel need a new partner this year, so.
For what?
Oh, you and Scott. That would be a nice mix.
For the Fantasy Cup?
I can't partner with Scott.
Why? Why?
Scott is too conservative for me.
Well, that's why it'd be a good mix to have.
No. Me
like
Scott,
the odd couple.
Yeah. Like, because when I'm pulling Sammy Watkins up the board, Scott's not going to like that.
Well, that's why we need you on the with Scott.
And when Scott is drafting like a tight end in the fifth round, I'm gonna be like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, that's why we're gonna have you guys next to each other.
No.
All right, next ACDC, Nomar Mazara. Corey, ACDC or Nomar Mazara?
A lot of people like this guy, right? Nomar Mazara.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a younger player, right?
Mm-hmm. Came up last year.
I'm gonna go with Mazara. I'm gonna go. You know what? We was talking with George Kurtz on the old school show, and George Kurtz is absolutely in love with him. As you know, George Kurtz is one of the.
He doesn't love anybody.
Huh?
He doesn't love anybody.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing about it. It's so funny. So whenever you see that George Kurtz likes a player a lot. It kind of be like, well, this is interesting because George Kurtz don't like nobody. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, wow, if Kurtz like it, I got to look into it. Because Kurtz said that he wanted to try to own him on like every team that he had this upcoming year. Like you said, he was really in on him 100%. So I think Nomar Mazara can do some interesting things for your fantasy team. He's a young player. Don't really want to put that kind of stock in him. But I'm going to say that he is a AC.
I'm going to go Ducey, okay, and it breaks my heart because I think I was a year too early on him last year, and I think he might be one more year away. He is a future star in the making, I think, but I think it's one more year away. He'll be good, but let's see where Mazzara is going here. I'm trying to pull this up real quick.
I like that name, Nomar Mazzara.
I do like that. I mean, he's going at 200, so I mean, if we're just doing it based on, I would take him over, say, Jock Peterson. So
really, that's interesting.
So if we're going on draft stock, then I'll say AC, but I think we might be. I think, you know, he'll maybe hit high teens, maybe 20 home runs. You know, maybe he needs to figure out left-handed hitting. That's his impediment right now. And once he does that, the kid can hit the ball far as anybody. And I'm a fan of him. But if we're going just draft stock, draft price, I'll say AC. But he's a guy that I'm probably not going to own as much. But I understand why George loves him.
Yeah.
AC Ducey, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Jackie Bradley Jr. He played for Boston, right? Oh, my Lord.
I believe earlier in this offseason, you actually used him as a name that player that I got.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How about that? You guessed it correct.
JBJ.
Listen.
Yes.
I don't want to say Ducey, and then it sounds like I'm a hater because he played for Boston. I mean, he has the power to hit home runs in the mid 20s. Probably still score you about 85 to 90 runs in that Red Sox lineup, driving 90 runs. Then you got to say this guy's the AC. He's not really going to give you. He can give you 10 stolen bases. You happy with that? Batting average in that 255, 265 range. Would you say it's correct?
Where he's going, I think you're making the case for Bradley. But I'll make the case against him just for me.
Why is that?
He's going 145 and 8 picks ahead and, say, 7 picks later. I'm going to gamble on both of these players. One is Byron Buxton, and the other one is Keon Broxton. I'll take the gamble. On speed alone, they could earn. That's the thing. With fast players, if these guys steal 30 bases, they're going to earn that back. They're both going to hit double-digit home runs. So I'm going to go with both of those guys over a Jackie Bradley Jr.
I think I'm going to take Jackie Bradley Jr. over those guys. Like, maybe it's just sour shoes here in Byron Buxton, but this guy strikes out 80% of the time, I think it's up to now. Maybe 100% of the time. So I'm done with Byron Buxton for now. I kind of want to wait and see. Keon Broxton, he's got to stay healthy. He has to stay in the lineup. And Jackie Bradley does that. Like, Jackie Bradley, I know a lot of his success came during that, 30-game hitting streak in May. And he was so scorching hot, and he really cooled down in the second half. But I really like Jackie Bradley Jr. I'm not saying he's an AC. I don't need him on my team. But the guys you mentioned, I'd probably rather have Jackie Bradley.
And I can dig that. I can see that. He has a lot, like, his game comes with peaks and valleys. He's like feast or famine. You know what I
mean?
He's that type of player. But here's, how about this? Did you know he's a South Carolina Gamecock?
I did not.
There you go.
In the Sweet 16.
And they're in the Sweet 16.
Square Garden.
And you know who they beat?
They beat DeMarcus Stroman and Duke.
I like the way that was tied up.
Lovely.
Hey, let's take a break. I do have some more of the. I'll throw it to you, my friends.
Yeah.
I have some more of these. We have a bunch of football news we can get to. How would you like to play this?
Greg, you don't have to ask me that question.
Yeah, let's do some football. Corey's chomping at the bit.
More AC Ducey tomorrow on the show. When we come back, let's talk a little NFL football, including what the hell is Cam Newton doing? Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. More AC Ducey on the program tomorrow. A lot more players to chat about, of course. Matt, Corey, we'll all do it again tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. But let's talk a little football here. Because Cam Newton, the Panthers announced yesterday, he's going to have surgery on his throwing shoulder. And it's going to keep him out at least until the beginning of training camp. They say the recovery time is 4 months. He's having the surgery on March 30th. That's April, May, June, July. That brings you right up to the end of July, right around the beginning of training camp. He should be okay for the preseason. But that's assuming that everything goes well. There's no complications. Now, the obvious question many have had is, what the hell took so long to Cam Newton have surgery? I mean, their season was over, you know, the first weekend of January. It's now the end of March. What the hell is going on? Basically, the doctors said, listen, let's try to just relax. Let's see if rest heals it. A little rehab heals it. It didn't. Next question you may have is, it's March 22nd. Why are we waiting another 8 days to have the surgery? Quote, Cam had some commitments he felt he needed to fulfill before having the surgery. He felt bad calling out of those commitments, whatever that means. I don't know what that means.
Isn't his biggest commitment to the Carolina Panthers, who are paying him all that money?
Well, evidently, if they're okay with it, I guess.
You make a good point.
It doesn't matter. Cam Newton here, Corey Parson, surgery on his right throwing shoulder. That's the right shoulder. He had issues throwing the ball last year when he made the surgery.
He was hurt. It came out that this is probably about the final month of the season. They realized that because of his mechanics, that he was having difficulties with his throwing shoulder. I guess they managed it towards the end of the season. They came to the point where they think that the surgery is the best way to get Cam and get back up to shape. So I don't think, you know, like you said, barring any setbacks, he'll be ready to go for training camp. Now, as far as his draft stock for 2016 goes, people are up and down, in and out on Cam Newton. Most fantasy owners either love Cam or hate him. Last year, they loved him too much. The year before, they hated him too much. This year, more than likely, they'll go back to hating him. So I still think he's a low-end quarterback one for fantasy purposes. That running game needs to improve to help that offense out a little bit. So I think that's going to be critical to see what they do in the offseason, but still like a top-10 quarterback going off the board.
Yeah, I think that the Panthers will address the running back situation, and that's desperately needed. And as Corey mentioned, you either love or hate him. And last year, there was definitely way too much love on Cam Newton. So this season, I could just see it. He's going to drop down boards. He's going to go later, or where he should go. And he's going to return that value for people. So he's somebody that, I mean, I'm not crazy about somebody coming off a rotator cuff surgery, but he just has too many intangibles and stuff. So he's a guy that I'll probably be looking at this year.
Yeah, you know, he's somebody that you could wind up looking at, but I'm not going to. So much of his value relies on his legs, obviously. And his right shoulder surgery, he's had issues throwing the ball even before that last month of the season, Corey. The value is going to be incredible, obviously, but I'm not interested. I'm not.
I just see it as it's like everybody goes off him again, and then he just, you know, he pulls out the cape and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's
just
what I'm saying.
It just winds up happening.
People are going to fall out. Oh, Cam Newton did this to me last year, did that to me. You know what I'm saying? They're going to fall out of favor. Oh, he can't throw. All he can do is run. He's getting older, yada, yada, yada. And then he finishes the season, he's QB2, and you're like, oh, sorry.
It just seems to be setting up like that.
That's the way Cam Newton is. Cam Newton's a beast. He's one of the best players in the NFL.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
You don't have to be interested. He may not be interested in you.
Probably he's not. That's okay, though.
It's all good, though. I got love for you.
So Cam Newton's having major shoulder surgery here, right? Now, Doug Martin, speaking of rest and rehab, Doug Martin's out of rest and rehab, right? That he completed his rehab for alcohol and perhaps something else.
Doug Martin? I didn't know he had an alcohol thing.
He was suspended for 4 games, remember?
I thought it was something else.
Well, he was suspended for Adderall, but he went to rehab for alcohol. I don't really know.
Okay.
But yeah, he went to rehab and he completed his stay at the end of February.
In Doug Martin's defense, I will say Adderall is like, you ever see that movie, Limitless?
Limitless.
It's like amazing.
Now, hold on. When you are drafting these marathons, you take Adderall? Yes.
I will be taking it this weekend.
Okay. So that, you know, we well now I'm really,
I will be enhanced if you want to just
no hold on we've had this conversation on the Roto Expert show about if Adderall is essentially, well, it's illegal for you to be taking it, but like, is essentially a steroid for a fantasy a drafter, an expert. Here you are, Matt, you're in major money leagues, platinum, diamond, ultimate, whatever.
Wait a minute, his wife might be listening. He didn't go. He didn't.
No, she just landed in Chicago. So they're all good.
He didn't sign up for the platinum, Miss Medica. Yeah, <no. laughs>
All right, so you're in the ultimate. Like, you think Adderall gives you an extra advantage here, doesn't it?
It's not that what it does. What I've learned.
We better save this for tomorrow. This is a much longer conversation. Let's save this for tomorrow.
Okay, we'll save it.
And should we all take Adderall and see if we perform better? No, we shouldn't. That's a bad idea.
I plead the fifth.
This is a bad idea.
I see that grin. The grin was getting wild.
I plead the fifth.
You can do whatever you want, and I can be the one that's not on the Adderall and see how it works out. We're going to start off the show tomorrow with that. Okay. So we got Adderall tomorrow. We got AC/DC tomorrow. Nevertheless, we got a big show tomorrow. Nevertheless, Doug Martin, out of rehab, still suspended for a few games to start the year. The Bucks have not done anything to address the running back position. I mean, they re-signed Jaquizz Rodgers, but that's it. Modica, to me, it says they're kind of believing right now in Doug Martin. Should we believe once again?
Who believes in him?
I don't think the Bucks believe in him.
Honestly, haven't signed or drafted a running back.
Yeah, but I think the Bucks are going to make a move in this draft. And if Carolina doesn't get Cook, I think the Bucks might be the team that get him.
Okay.
They're going to make a trade up or whatever.
So you think Cook or Fournette or Mixon or something like that ends up with Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the most curious case, the draft is going to be awesome just for, I mean, the most curious case is Joe Mixon. Somebody's taking him. There is no way that they're going to let this guy go out. He's just too talented. They'll get the PR people. They'll surround him with the right people. This kid's way too talented. I want to see where he goes.
And it's they're setting up. This is the team that's setting up the push for a run. You know what I mean? You got the NFC South with those weak defenses. So this is a team, this Tampa team, setting up for a run. You see they made the move with DeSean Jackson. So basically what they're going to do with Martin is they're going to sit on him. I kind of feel bad for him because you know what's probably likely going to happen? He's probably going to get released right before training camp start.
That would be very nice.
No, yeah, but he'll find the landing
spot. You say that, but Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles are still out there.
Yeah, but I mean, Adrian Peterson is just, he's gotten old and everyone people saw last year. Jamal Charles, I love Jamal Charles, but I mean, I don't think the knees are there. I mean, if the Eagles thought Jamal Charles' knees were good, wouldn't he be on that team already?
It seems like that'd be the ideal, the logical landing spot with the connection he has to Doug Peterson. Now, I read something very interesting on Adrian Peterson. What's this dude from Pro Football Focus? Sam Monson? Not Mike Clay. Mike Clay is independent.
No, Florio.
Yeah.
Well, he's from Pro Football Talk, so Mike Florio.
Yeah.
But anyway, some dude from Pro Football Focus.
Nah, he's one of their senior dudes.
All right, so
he lives, like, get this, he's an Irish cat, but he lives in Dublin. I didn't know they do fantasy football over there.
Evidently they do, international sport.
There you go. So now listen to this. He broke it down very interesting. He said the reason why Adrian Peterson is not an option for teams is not only because of the fact that of the money, but the way Adrian Peterson likes to play out the I formation.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to run out the shotgun.
Doesn't catch
football out of the backfield. Yeah. He's a terrible blocker.
Yeah,
the way the league has changed, Adrian Peterson has almost become a one down player. So really, you're paying Adrian Peterson, and he only really has value to you on first down.
Yeah,
and that's why people are not in on Adrian Peterson.
That's all correct. It doesn't surprise me.
So I never saw it really put that way. So Peterson is he's kind of like a relic of from a bygone era of running back.
Hey, the Giants signed Sean Drone. Get a major.
But Sean Drone can catch.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. You feel what I mean? Yeah, Sean Drone can catch. So that's crazy right there. But this thing with Doug Martin, I think they end up releasing him. But they'll do something in the draft. You know what's probably likely going to happen? They're going to draft a running back, and Doug Martin going to tweet something like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it's going to go down.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Speaking of drafts, by the way, Mel Kiper's newest mock draft is out, Mock Draft 3.0. We're 5 weeks away from the draft. Mock Draft 3.0 is out. We'll take a look at it. I wrap up the show. Cut up next. Final few minutes here of the program. OGs are up next, led by Corey Parson, Scotty Angle, George Kurtz on the program today, as is Dr. A. Inside injuries. I'm sure a lot to ask him about as well, Corey. Can't turn your mic on, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to ask Dr. A nothing if my mic is turned off.
That's right.
Now, we got to get into it with Dr. A. We'll talk a little injuries with him. I want to find out what Dr. A's thoughts on J.D. Martinez's foot. Make sure see how that situation is playing out. And then, you know, we'll talk some injuries with Dr. A. We got D.D. Gregorius. So.
That's right.
It's going to be interesting.
Of course, you're all the way back. So
we can ask Doc about Cam Newton and his rotator cuff. So
that's going to be good one to hear.
Good day to get Doc on.
A good day to talk to Dr. A, my guy from Inside Injuries.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, he did his residency at Albert Einstein Hospital in the Bronx.
And I know that. Very
he's
cool.
He's a boogie down guy.
Very cool.
That's where Corey's system was born.
Yeah, that's what my sister. Very good, Matt.
How old are you, sister? No, all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. Hey, Noah, what's up, bro? So Kuiper's mock draft's out. Mock Draft 3.0. How much do you guys look at mock drafts in the NFL? Or NFL, NBA, whatever. How much do you guys look at these?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Like, you're into it.
A lot of times they don't shake out that way. Trades happen. Teams are thinking differently. But it's something cool to do. It's fun to get a little bit of a gauge of it.
I mean, I look at it, but it's once there's like a trade, it's all, you know. Not something I really care. It's fun to look at once or twice.
You say it's not something you look at, but you're like, if the Bills don't wind up drafting this wide receiver, blah, 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 blah.
But that's the same thing every year.
But you're pretty pumped about seeing Kuiper have Mike Williams drafted to the Bills right now.
That I am, because I saw somebody had them taking the cornerback from Ohio State, Lattimore. And we do need help in secondary, don't get me wrong. But I'm just of the belief we need to build this offense. I want to see what this new offensive coordinator is going to do. I know the run game was excellent last year. The Bills were 8th or 9th in offense. But once again, they missed the playoffs. We need playmakers.
We, huh?
Yeah. Got to support the team. I support them.
Interesting. So here are the skill position players. Here are the spots Kuiper has them going. Thoughts if it'll happen, if it's a good spot. Once again, the Panthers having a running back, Corey. Kuiper has Leonard Fournette in Carolina.
If Leonard Fournette lasts to Carolina, that is a perfect pickup for them right there. You get him behind Carolina's offensive line. Now, what happens is I think you lose some of the value of Cam Newton running the football. I think that Leonard Fournette obviously is a guy that projects to be 3-down running back that could play next to the goal line, but he would be a nice piece to put in that offense. He ends up on Carolina, I say maybe you'll be that 3-4 turn.
Well, can I ask a question?
But Jonathan Stewart will be there. Jonathan Stewart will probably be there
Jonathan
still.
Jonathan Stewart is washed.
Yeah, I agree with him being washed. My question with Fournette going to the Panthers is kind of like from, I know many people have kind of compared him to like the Adrian Peterson in the fact with the offense, he's not the shotgun back and stuff like that. So will that hurt him in that offense that's geared that way? Like maybe a Cook is a better fit, even though he didn't turn out great in the underwear Olympics.
No, but I think that Fournette skill set kind of projects to really anything that they want to do. He's a similar player to Stewart, too, so I think he can get it done.
Similar player, I mean, we all know Cam Newton's the goal line back in Carolina, although Jonathan Stewart always had a ton of red zone red zone carries, so we'll see. Fournette, of course, his value probably dependent a little bit on Jonathan Stewart, though, I think, and Cam Newton's health, for that matter.
And Mike Tolbert's probably gone.
He is gone. No, he is gone. Mike Tolbert's for the Bills. He plays for the Bills. Another skill position player, in fact, the first skill position player off the board.
They can use a piece like Fournette in their offense.
I agree. Do you know,
Cameron Artis Payne flopped.
He did.
Yeah.
Do you know who the first skill position player off the board is in this draft, according to Mel Kiper Jr.?
Should be Deshaun Watson.
He's not Deshaun Watson. I'll get to him in a moment. You know who it is, Modica?
Well, you told me Williams was going to the Bills, so that's not the case.
I know. Corey Davis.
It is not Corey Davis.
It's the tight end from
Alabama. It is O.J. Howard. That is correct, Matt Modica. You know, football show by yourself. Couldn't even get the answer.
I had to hold back because I almost said O.J. Mayo.
Going to who?
Number
going to
six
Cleveland?
Overall to the New York Jets. Six overall.
That is ridiculous.
If the Jets Howard. Do that, I mean, O.J. Howard's got to go to, going to the Jets. I mean, with all their needs.
Driving a tight end.
This doesn't seem right. I think the guy's going to be a hell of a player. It just doesn't seem right going to the Jets.
If Deshaun Watson's on the board when they draft, how can they pass him up?
They don't like him. That's very simple.
Not at the Jets. There you go.
And supposedly they're intrigued by Mitchell Trubisky.
So is it fair to say that you believe, Corey, that Deshaun Watson should be the first quarterback taken?
Yeah,
you think he should be taking number one overall? As you told me,
Deshaun Watson is a franchise quarterback. There's one franchise quarterback in this draft, in my opinion. That player is Deshaun Watson.
So in Mel Kiper's mock draft, he is the second quarterback taken in the first round. He goes to the Arizona Cardinals.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson does.
Carson Palmer will come in as the favorite. Carson Palmer will have the job till he gets hurt, and then Deshaun Watson takes over in Arizona and runs with it.
So you're interested? You a good spot for Deshaun Watson?
No.
The first quarterback taken in this draft, according to Mel Kiper, in the mock draft, of course, is Mitchell Trubisky.
Is he going to San Francisco?
He's going to Cleveland at their number 12 pick. Mitchell Trubisky at number 12 over Deshaun Watson. You just said it here, Modica, that they are infatuated with this guy, supposedly. And here, they don't have to do anything. They draft Myles Garrett, number one overall, and then draft Trubisky at 12. What do you think of the fit for Mitchell Trubisky in Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, why not? They have to roll the dice on somebody. And I think they should go with Garrett with the number one pick. So, I mean, if that's the guy that they're keyed on, I mean, I'm kind of with Corey. I want to see what Watson can do in the NFL. I don't think really anybody stands out as that lockdown quarterback, but he's a proven winner, and I kind of like him, so he'd probably be the guy I'd want, but...
The first wide receiver off the board, I mentioned it to Matt during the break, is Mike Williams to Buffalo, so they have the pick of the litter here, and they chose Mike Williams. What?
Don McShay don't know what the hell he's doing.
Well, this is Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper don't know what the hell he's doing. Yeah. Well, he's been doing it for a long time. I mean, that sounds right to say.
But maybe he had some bad heads.
Who does he have going to Tennessee Titans?
He goes Tennessee Titans at number 5 overall. He has Marshawn Lattimore, the cornerback from Ohio State.
No.
But later, later in the first round.
That's right. They do have two fit picks.
John Ross.
John Ross is excellent overall. Fit for Tennessee.
You've said that all along. You think John Ross is Tennessee.
Yeah.
He's getting Ross, and they're getting a quarterback. So there you go. So Ross goes 18. The other wide receiver, Corey Davis, I'm sure you're wondering about. Corey Davis here, number 19, Tampa Bay. There you go. Wow. Tomorrow on the show, we talk Adderall and AC Ducey. It's going to be fun. From Matt Bodega, Corey Parson, I am Greg Sussman. Up next, the OGs of fantasy, Corey Parson, Scott Angle, George Kurtz. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday, your hump day, your deuce. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.